Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
On the fan on this, what is it, Wednesday? I don't know what day it is. I think it's Wednesday. On this Wednesday morning, I got you for 3 hours till 5 o'clock. Fliegelman is back from the other side of the pond. We'll see what it was like out in London for him as we get through the show. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. That's right, I got you till the warm-up show at 5 o'clock. You know, we'll start with the baseball before we get to the Rodgers story and the absolute overblown nonsense that we hear always from the Jets. But let's talk about baseball and the two teams yet again doing what they do and what they've done all year. And for me, momentum, despite the season being 162 games, and despite, you know, the idea of sometimes we treat it as if it's 162 one-game season. Sometimes it's just a stretch. The momentum of seasons, especially here as we've hit the third of the way through the season, and you start to try and figure out who your team is, right? And for the Mets, there's kind of a line of demarcation. You could talk about that weekend for both teams, kind of lines of demarcation, where, all right, it's the Dodgers series, Soto's dealing with an injury, and then there's the Mets in Philadelphia coming off a sweep of Washington, going out to London, getting a split, and now how do they do returning? And for both teams coming off those series, the Yankees have done what they do, and the Mets do what they do. And again, last night for the New York Yankees, we see what the New York Yankees do, which is excellent starting pitching, what we get again from Stroman, who's been just unbelievable. I think you could argue it's the best free agent signing of the year. I mean, the guy's been great, and for the value they got him for, and I mean, it's just, they throw it out there every single night. Like, let's just take a second and marvel at what the Yankees pitching has done. I know we're going to marvel at Aaron Judge and another home run, which, by the way, if you listened to the show last night, I told you Judge off a day off is almost a guaranteed home run. I know he's pretty much a guaranteed home run every game these days, but off a day off in particular, he always mashes. So I know we're going to marvel at him, and we're going to marvel at this offense, and Wells gets involved. And we should, because another performance against a damn good starting pitcher. We pick and choose who we determine to be good starting pitching and whether or not the Yankees can hit it. When the Yankees don't hit a good starting pitcher, it's, oh, they can't hit starting pitching. Good starting pitching. When they do hit a good starting pitcher, as they did to Singer last night, oh, well, listen, it's the Royals. I mean, is he really that good? He wasn't that good last year. He's got an under 3 ERA. He's been one of the better pitchers for them on a team that's 10 games, what was 12 games over 500 heading in, and they took care of Lugo, they took care of Singer, both two excellent starting pitchers pitching great for this team, and the main reason, and one of the main reasons, they are where they are this year as opposed to being one of the worst teams in baseball like they've been the last handful of years. So yes, this lineup up and down, up and down. And now that Juan Soto's fully entrenched back, playing out in the outfield, you feel a little bit like this was the full lineup. And yes, top to bottom, if Wells could ever actually do anything, he's been terrible this year, and he hits a big 3-run home run in this game, they pull away Judge, Stanton. But really, I'm sorry, as great as, and as much as we'll always have this talking point of what this Yankee offense is, and what Judge can be and what Soto is and what they are without Soto. And that was the conversation coming from the Dodgers. It's every single night they are throwing out a starting pitcher that goes five, six innings guaranteed, who's going to give you a good start. I mean, the starting pitching without Gerrit Cole has been mind-bogglingly good. I mean, historically good. It is crazy what Matt Blake, and then you get into the bullpen, and we talked last night and yesterday about Tonkin and what they've done there for a guy who's been DFA'd three different times by two different teams. And yes, Judge is a beast, and this lineup top to bottom, and they showed you, and you know, both these first two games against Kansas City, what they're capable of, both with Judge and Stanton out of the lineup. Right? In one night, they take Judge and Stanton out of the lineup, and they beat you with three sacrifice bunts, a couple of base hits, and excellent starting pitching. And then they bring in their mashers back, and it's three-run home runs from the bottom of the order. It's Judge and Stanton hitting 440-foot home runs. Like, they can beat you a myriad of ways, but it all is predicated on this starting pitching and not giving up runs. And Stroman gives you another great performance from this rotation, and they just continue to build. And this was a big series, and they're only halfway through it, but they have manhandled the Kansas City Royals. Right? And oh, it's the Kansas City Royals. It's the Central. The Yankees have an ungodly record against the Central. They've only had one loss this entire year, with one loss to Cleveland. And sure, Detroit's not that good. The White Sox are the worst team in baseball. But the Royals have had a great year. The Royals have one of the best players in baseball. Perez is one of the best hitting catchers of this generation. They've gotten excellent starting pitching. They were 12 games over 500 and in a wild card position as they welcomed in the big bad Yankees, who we all know, whether it's the Dodgers or anybody else, treat it like their own personal World Series. And the Yankees, undermanned in game one, came in there and took a victory and then just absolutely pounded them in game two. And that's what the Yankees do. And that's what this team has done. And that's why I feel like it's different. And that's why we saw, you know, what they can be. And then even some of the things we've been wringing our hands about. As you see Rizzo, who's been bad this year, and he's going to continue to be a conversation. I thought some of his at-bats, he just missed a double down the line by about a foot and a half. But defensively, he had an inning where you can't play better defense at first base. And that's still going to be a conversation by all estimation, and they're going to have to figure out something at first base. I'm still on that train. But after one game, I'm not going to, you know, get off it. But it might be something where Rizzo needs a day here and there, where Rizzo is part of a platoon, where you can platoon Rizzo as the left-handed hitter and still see him most of the time, but maybe against lefties, or maybe every, you know, once a week, even if you're facing all righties for that week. He needs some time off, some days off, maybe to, you know, fix his body or just feel better about things, because defensively, that was a performance last night that we haven't seen from Rizzo this entire year. So as they start to get better, as they continue to do what they do and continue on momentum and lose their first series in what feels like forever against the Dodgers, win the last game, and now have absolutely went into Kansas City, a playoff team here in this American League, and dominated them. And then we look to the Mets. We look to the Mets, who I told you I thought they were done after losing those two games to Arizona, because whether I'm right or wrong, I believe in momentum a lot. I do. I believe in momentum over the course of a year. And there's going to be times where it's up and down, and I get that. But for me, off that meeting in that four-game set against Arizona, and they come out and take the first two games in the way they did it, and then to lose the last two in the way they lost it, that's a momentum killer. And that's why I lost faith in this team, because they can't sustain momentum. And again, they get three games against Washington. They take care of the lousy Nationals, who did go on to sweep the Braves, so it's easy to call them that lousy. But maybe they're better than I give them credit for. Whatever. It's a good series sweep. You needed it. You go into London. You have a miraculous win in that last game in the London series, right? You have this great win. You come from behind. You have one of the best defensive plays from a catcher I've ever seen. I still think it's underrated in how good it is. And they come home off of that, about to play one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. And for them, if you go back, you know, the Marlins have cost the Mets at almost every turn over the last 20 years. I mean, we could talk about the Braves and the dominance of the division and the Mets, right? And we could talk about the Philadelphia Phillies and how good they've been. But even when the Marlins haven't been good, I mean, back to the last game at Shea, just the whole, just every time. I mean, I would, you know, as a Met fan, you got to hate everyone in the division, but the Marlins in particular, because they're not better than you, and still they have these moments over you. And so to head back off of a great win, to find out earlier in the day that you're getting Alvarez back into the lineup. You're coming home to play the lousy Marlins. You take a lead in the game after falling behind 1-0, and the offense does absolutely nothing. Again, this offense does absolutely nothing. And for me, I walk in and I talk to Fleegs, and I can see it on his face. I know exactly where he's going when I mention the Mets. Jeff McNeil is a waste of space. Okay? I know he came through with a big hit in the rally in the second game against Philadelphia and London. He hasn't played 4 out of the last 5 games. He's not in the lineup again for Iglesias last night. And yet, in a big spot in the 7th inning, this manager, who's talked about, we all know what Jeff McNeil is, we need Jeff McNeil to get back, I fully expect he will, and yet goes right back to putting him on the bench. In the 7th inning, down a run in this game, brings in Jeff McNeil to pinch hit when it's so clearly obvious they are going to go to a left-handed pitcher to neutralize him. And I don't even think you need a left-handed pitcher to neutralize Jeff McNeil, but you saw it coming a mile away. You saw it coming a mile away. And what happens? You know what happens. He swings and misses at strike 3, pulling out, his ass going in one direction, the bat going in the other. That same, you know, Ichiro-type swing, but he's not Ichiro. And listen, and I understand, you know, Iglesias is no great hitter, but I'd rather take my chances with Iglesias against a right-handed pitcher than I would Jeff McNeil right now, who rightfully so, this manager has shown you, and this new regime with Stearns has shown you, they are going to hold people accountable. They are going to hold people accountable, and if you don't play well, you're not going to play. I've talked about it. It's been the one thing about this team that I felt is a major positive moving forward and gives me faith. Besides the fact that Stearns has done it in Milwaukee, he's just started. I have faith in him for the most part. But the manager, this regime, even on a season where the expectations weren't ratcheted up that high, they still had a level of expectation where if you don't match it, if you don't meet it, you don't play. And that's why Jeff McNeil hasn't played. And that's why it was mind-boggling to me to watch him pitch in this game. It's not the only story of this game, but it's the most frustrating part of this game. J.D. Martinez hits one to the wall. You make a great play from Vientos, whose defense is much better. He comes through with the only offense of the game with a 2-run double. His defense has been far, you know, much better, both him and Beatty. And to give Beatty credit, too, I know he's killing it in AAA. He's a classic. I hate to say this, but he's a classic quadruple A player. And we'll see if he works his way back into this team, because I have a feeling he's going to, because they're going to trade away anybody who has any kind of value. But even Vientos, he makes the stab. He can't make the throw. He had much more time than he thought. He doesn't make the throw. Bader gets there, makes the slide, it hits off the glove. Like, that is just typical Mets. But ultimately, they can't hold any momentum. And if they were ever going to have some coming off of that win in London against Philadelphia, having won 4 of their last 5, coming back to play one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball, who have already started trading away pieces in this new era of baseball where there are 3 wild card teams, where teams wait till the bitter end to see if they can work their way back into it. The Marlins are already trading away their best pieces to the Padres a month ago. And the Mets come into this game trying to build momentum. McGill didn't give them a great start, but he kept them in this game. The offense does nothing, and I know Lizardo's a good pitcher, and I know, you know, Alonso's particularly bad about him and doesn't see him well, but he has terrible at-bats in this game. And it just feels like the ball's going to go off the glove. They're going to make the great stab. They're going to throw it away. They're going to find a way to lose, and not sustain any kind of solid baseball. And that's when I look at this Met team, that's what I think of. I think of a team that should be better than it is. I think of a team that surprised us in a couple of areas that we weren't expecting anything from, whether it's the starting rotation pretty much the whole year, whether it was the bullpen to start the year. But ultimately, the offense continues to sink this team. They're worse defensively than I thought they'd be. But ultimately, even against bad teams, even against when it feels like things are about to go well, you cannot come home and lose to the Marlins. Not in a game where you had every opportunity to win, and not in another game where the offense does nothing. And you can't, the Mets have to win these next two games. You can't lose a series to the Marlins. But ultimately, this is going to be what we thought it was 2 weeks ago. They are going to sell off all of these pieces. And don't let it fool you. And I know I am the king. All right, I am the king in my short time here, coming up on a year of hosting the overnights. Last year's baseball season, I was telling you all year long with the Yankees that, hey, all you have to do is get in. All you have to do is get in. Baseball's a crapshoot. It is a crapshoot. Don't tell me it's not a crapshoot. When Brian Cashman says it's a crapshoot, damn it, he's right. It's a crapshoot. And anything can happen. I was saying that all year. With the Mets, I don't want to trade Verlander. I don't think you should trade away this quickly. They're still in it. I didn't like the Robertson trade and when it happened, because I believe anything could happen. But this team consistently shows me that they are not a team that can play consistent good baseball. They are in a position right now with their franchise where they went into the season with expectations, they went into the season with a plan, and they have a couple of pieces here, especially in the starting rotation, that they would be foolish not to try and figure out a way to move. And Evan, please don't tell me that Jeff McNeil is going to get traded to the Yankees to solve their problems. Stop it. He's terrible. I want nothing to do with him. We have a Rizzo problem. You want to add a Jeff McNeil problem to it? But this team just can't continue to play well. They can't live off positivity. They immediately fall on their face the second they can. I understand they had a fly back from London. I'm sure, as I see Fliegelman, he's half awake. I understand it's not easy. But come back and beat the Marlins. And stop pinch hitting for Jeff McNeil when you bench them for a damn reason. And see if you could build some momentum here. But ultimately, this is who they are. A couple of good days, a bunch of bad ones. And a team that can't figure out a way to muster up enough goodwill here to continue it on and beat the Miami Marlins and go about trying to get back into this thing. And I don't care how many games back of the wild card. They're 3.5, fine. They're 6 games. They're 6 teams ahead of them. And they can't beat the Marlins. So we got two teams going in opposite directions. Two teams, one who can build on momentum, and if it's stopped for a brief moment against a Dodger team in Yankee Stadium, they go right on the road and take it to a wild card team, to a playoff team, to one of the big surprises of Major League Baseball against their two best pitchers. And we watch Judge and Stanton and Wells and the rest of this lineup come in and he plays small ball in game one, dominate you in game two, continue to have this streak of pitchers who go 4-5 innings. It's crazy. And then the Mets coming off one of the better wins of the season against Philadelphia and London, coming from behind, ending it in amazing fashion with one of the better double plays by a catcher you will ever see, and they come home and they give you absolutely nothing. Drives you up a wall. You know what else drives me up a wall? Overreaction to nonsense, and that's what we'll get to with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. We'll take your baseball calls up next, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. I know everyone seems, for whatever reason, over the last couple days, it's been real trade deadline central. So what do the Yankees need to do to add at the deadline? And we all know what the question is with the Mets come the trade deadline. How can they get rid of Jeff McNeil? That's the question. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So we got plenty to do. I got you all the way to 5 o'clock in the morning. Maybe at some point we'll talk hot dog eating contest. I can't believe that's actually just came out of my mouth, but I suppose it's possible. We'll get to the Rodgers and Jets, and obviously Reddick as well, who is a no-show, along with Aaron Rodgers, who had something very important to do. What's wrong with you people? It was important.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, let's go. Come on, Judge, put a ring on it. That'd be nice. That'd be nice. And my first response on Twitter, which is always fun, you can call me too at 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. But it's the typical stuff. Relax. This is from Javi203. Relax. It's the Royals. What happened against the Dodgers and the other good teams? Well, what other good teams? That's my first question. What other good teams? They lost 3-4 to Baltimore and they lost to the Dodgers. The only two good teams in all of Major League Baseball, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. You got the Orioles and you got the Dodgers. Everybody else sucks. Okay. And just wait until the playoffs. Don't poke the chest out. It's early. I love this one because I'm getting it a lot from Yankee fans. From Twitter and Yankee haters, really, I suppose. They're 26 games over 500. They have a pitching staff without Gerrit Cole that is performing at a historic level. Historic. Luis Gil is probably the favorite to win the Cy Young. The bullpen, with names nobody's ever heard of, is still one of the best and part of the best overall pitching staff in all of baseball. They got guys like Tompkin coming in and figuring out a way to have an ERA under one. And, oh, by the way, the offense leads the league in everything. They score more runs in the first inning than any other team in baseball. They've scored more runs than any other team in baseball. They're in first place. They have the best record in baseball. What should I come on and say? Should I just avoid the Yankees until there's some negative things to talk about? What should I say? If you're a Yankee fan, like I am, and we're going to talk Yankees and baseball. I just talk Mets. If the Mets were good, I'd talk good. But the Mets lose and suck, so I complain about them. The Yankees are on fire. Yes, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers. Without Juan Soto, which I don't think is an excuse, they lost 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers. They lost one game in extra innings because Grisham couldn't get a bunt down. And then they got beat by the one pitcher who's kind of struggled at times, and Nestor Cortez. And the Dodgers are excellent and pounded a reliever who got DFA'd the day after. And then the Yankees came back and won. They lost two out of three to the Dodgers. And they've gotten right back on it. And, oh, the Royals aren't a good team. I guess the Royals don't count. They're in the wild card. If the season ended today, they're in the playoffs. But they don't count. They're not a good team. They've had an excellent pitching staff. And the Yankees just beat their two best pitchers who have ERAs under three and have led them to where they are, which is a playoff team inside the American League. But they're not a good team either. The Astros, who have owned the American League for the last decade, are a couple games under 500, ravaged by injury and struggling. So beating them 6 out of 7 doesn't matter. Pounding the Orioles doesn't matter. Pounding the Royals doesn't matter. Beating the Cleveland Indians, who are Cleveland Guardians, who are in first place in the division and they're in the Central Division, having a great year. Beating them 2 out of 3 doesn't matter. I mean, it's just, I don't know what matters. Nothing matters with the New York Yankees. It doesn't matter. Judge is having an all-time year better than he had in 2022. And he was terrible for a month. That doesn't matter. Juan Soto is, hopefully healthy. I know this is going to linger a little bit. But he's back and healthy in the middle of the lineup. I mean, Volpe gets a triple every other day. But none of it matters. None of it matters. And I'm just foolish and a Yankee shill for talking positive about them. So I guess we won't talk baseball. We won't talk baseball. We'll go right to Aaron Rodgers. 888-808-1019. Let's go right to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's ridiculous. I hate this can't pound your chest. They just beat the two of the best pitchers in the American League this year. And if you go back the third game against the Dodgers, they beat Glasnow. They have beat three of the best pitchers in baseball on three consecutive days, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They lost the two before that. They've lost two games in their last 12, Chris. Those two games clearly matter than the other 10. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you to come on the radio and be positive about the Yankees? Have you seen Anthony Rizzo, Chris? I have. I certainly have. Struggling. Problem. Yankees need to address it. Yankees need to get at least someone who could platoon with them. The Yankees need a better option at first base down the stretch, and they'll address it at the trade deadline, I would think. And if they don't, I'll complain about it. When there's something to complain about, I will complain. I still don't trust a lot of the guys in the bullpen, but they've been so good, it's hard to really kill them. DJ LeMahieu has had his moments where he's looked old and slow and tired. He's also had some good at-bats, and he's just getting a season underway. Gleyber Torres clearly has mental gaffes. I've called him a non-winning player. I've said he won't be a Yankee next year. I just don't see the value in moving him because I don't think I'll get anything better at second base. And this offense, as good as it is, and as much as I'll rant and rave about it, come postseason time, like that tweet mentioned, they've struggled offensively. I want the best offensive team I can get going into the postseason. I don't believe that you could put a light-hitting defensive first second baseman and go, well, the offense is so good, I just want to make sure I don't get the Gleyber era in a big spot. I don't believe in that. I do believe Gleyber is a much better offensive player than he's shown so far. He's starting to come out of it. Got a hit in this game. He's swinging the bat a lot better. I think he'll come out of it. And I think he's their best option at second base. And then he'll be gone next year. And we'll say goodbye to Gleyber, and I'll be the first one to say bon voyage and give him a nice wave and a thank you for his time here. But he shouldn't be in the Yankee next year. But there's nothing you can do now about it. I really don't believe there is. I don't believe it would be addition by subtraction moving on from him. But, I mean, Judge is the best hitter, and I said this the other day, Judge is the best hitter since Barry Bonds. Judge is the best hitter in Major League Baseball since Barry Bonds in the early 2000s. I mean, I know Mike Trout had some incredible seasons. I don't think it's certainly, I don't know if it's recency bias, but certainly New York bias. I didn't watch every single one of Mike Trout's games. That is fair. He's won three MVPs. He's the player of his generation. There's no doubt. He was having a great year this year until he got hurt. He is a wonderful player. I don't think he was as feared, or it got to a point where you can't pitch to him the way I'm waiting for it to finally start to happen with Judge. I'm waiting for him to not be pitched to. Like, it will never get back to the 2003, 2004 Barry Bonds where he had 120 intentional walks. I don't see that coming. But it's gonna start to get to a point where teams are not going to pitch to him in any sort of relevant spot. And that could be with the bases empty early on in the game. Like, that's, I mean, they are just, Soto's in front of him, not behind him. And they might have to switch that at some point. But, I mean, right now he's the best hitter in the world. And he's the best hitter I've seen since Bonds. And since we're getting on, you know, different topics, whatever, and people who are all over me, let me defend myself on something else while we're at it. Yesterday, a caller brought up to me that Soto might not want to sign with the New York Yankees because he wants to be the face of a team. He wants to be the guy. That's what a caller suggested to me. I didn't bring it up. I didn't make up the topic. I didn't just out of nowhere say, this is Judge team and Soto won't like it. Someone called me up, so I played the game. I had a conversation with a caller. And I firmly believe in what I said. This is Judge's team. It will always be Judge's team. Judge is the captain, the better player, the homegrown Yankee. And as much as we love Juan Soto, and we do, and as much as roll call goes crazy and the right field bleachers go crazy and, you know, the fans, every word out of a Yankees fan's mouth is whether or not you can keep Juan Soto. This is Judge's team. I don't think that will stop Juan Soto from signing. I think he'd be happy to play with Judge. I think it's hard to go anywhere and have it. I mean, if you go anywhere good, it's going to be difficult for it to be your team. Yes, with the Mets, there's a chance it's his team. But watch these games. Watch this team. Watch Judge play right now. This is, will be, and until Judge is done, which clearly Soto will continue to be great by the time Judge is done, because of the 4 years he's younger. But this is Judge's team. He's the captain. It will always be his team. Doesn't mean Juan Soto won't want to play here. Doesn't mean Juan Soto can't thrive here. Doesn't even mean on a some odd year that Soto could have a better season or win an MVP while Judge does not. Those are all plausible things. But it still will be Judge's team. It was Derek Jeter's team while Alex Rodriguez was here, who is a better player. This is going to be Judge's team forever. But that shouldn't stop Juan Soto from signing. But, I mean, make no mistake, I think, you know, the conversation about the two players, and not to pit them against each other, just if we're being fair, because they were both at the top, and I still think they are. I know Soto took a couple days off for this arm thing. I don't think he necessarily has ruined his MVP chances by missing the Dodger series. But if you look at these two players, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, the conversation was, well, they're both the favorites for the MVP. Who's pulling away? Who's the Yankee MVP? Who's got the better chance to be the American League MVP? And I will tell you, like I told you then, and I will tell you now, Aaron Judge has a much better chance to win the MVP and is the Yankee MVP because his numbers are going to be crazy. Juan Soto is a great baseball player. He is a Hall of Fame baseball player. He does things that, you know, I don't know if he does things that Judge can't do, but he does certain things better than Judge. I think he'll probably, for the most part, considering he's a lefty facing right-handed pitching, I would think he could have a higher batting average. I think he could get more walks, although Judge leads the world in walks. But Judge is going to be the guy who hits the 50-60 home runs. Judge is going to be the guy who drives in 130, 140 runs. Judge is an absolute dynamo and the best hitter we have seen since Barry Bonds. And it's going to get to the point where the rest of the league is going to stop pitching to him. And we'll see how the Yankees adjust to it, and we'll see how the offense goes without him being able to be pitched to. You know, without him in the middle of things, because he's going to be walked constantly. Because that's where we're getting. You would be foolish. The guy, you can't get him out. Eventually, they're going to stop pitching to the guy. But, I mean, and that's not to diminish Juan Soto, because I'll tell you the truth. Watching the game last night again, Juan Soto's brought another... I remember a call that we got sort of towards the beginning of the season, right? And it was right around the same time that, you know, Sal and a lot of people were talking about Soto taking walks with the base, with, you know, runners on base. And he's that's a lot of the people who call and say negative things about Juan Soto, including, I guess, an anonymous baseball player, that he's overrated and all he does is walk and hit singles and everything like that, which is absolute nonsense. But right around that conversation of taking walks, I got a call, a guy who called me up and told me how we're going to be tired of Juan Soto because, yes, all he does is walk, and he's terrible at other things, and he's not worth the contract because he's one of the worst fielders in the game, and he's one of the worst base runners in the game. And quite honestly, I think, and we talk about, I just talked about, you know, bias of the teams we watch, our New York bias. I didn't see Juan Soto play every game. I saw Juan Soto 19 times a year for sure against the Mets and some other primetime games and then the playoff run in 2019. And I knew how great he was. And then he went to San Diego and I watched him occasionally, the wild card series against the Mets for sure. And then anytime they played the Mets for sure, the six or seven games they played the Mets. And then, you know, sporadically throughout the year, I know how great Juan Soto is. But I, while I disagreed with that caller, had in the back of my mind that while he's not the worst necessarily, those were his flaws. And that he is a flawed player, and you could see Juan Soto becoming a DH years down the line. But watching him every day, Juan Soto is a far better outfielder than I thought he was. Far better. Not a great outfielder, not a Gold Glove caliber outfielder, but I sort of bought the narrative that he was a below average outfielder. He is clearly not. Clearly not. I mean, from the beginning of the season with the throw at the play at the plate in Houston. He's just been very solid out there. Very, very solid. And then the base running as well, he is far more athletic. He is far more speedy, and he's a far better base runner than I give him credit for, including what, in this game last night, an excellent, excellent slide to get around a tag at home plate. To get an early run on the board, to get the second run on the board, I believe. A ground ball to third. Third baseman came home, and he had an excellent slide around Perez to just get his hand on home plate. He is a far better base runner. He is a far better outfielder to go along with being one of the most... I mean, I talk about Bonds. I think right now the New York Yankees have the best hitter since Bonds and the best player who has a... understanding of the strike zone since Barry Bonds. And they both hit second and third for the New York Yankees. But hold your breath, Chris, and don't say anything positive because you don't want to sound like a shill and it's early. And they lost two series all year long and those are the only two that matter. And you're a fat fool for thinking anything other than that. You people drive me crazy. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on, Doug? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad you said that before. I got two things I want to get into you with the Yankees. But that stuff right there, what you said about that caller with the, you know, whose team is it? Good players want to play with good players, bro. Mm-hmm. And Soto shows you already that he wants to be part of things that win, things that move, and things that do what they're supposed to. And they want guys like that to compliment them, to help them through the whole time that they do. So this whole thing with the ego stuff, and who, like, you know, he wants to be on the team where it's his team. I don't buy none of that.
Yeah, neither do I. Good.
To get to why I called you, I got two things I want to put to you right now, all right? The first one, all this talk about, because I'm hearing this sentiment growing with, like, making, you know, Judge, like, when it was concerned that Soto might actually have to DH, and, like, how do we do other things, and even with trying to fix Rizzo, there's this sentiment growing with trying to make either Judge or Stanton, a first baseman. I hope people understand, first off, that's not a good thing to try to do, like, as the season is going on with everything that's at stake right now. And second, for guys that you're trying to keep away from, like, soft muscle tissue issues and things of that nature, playing first base and stretching out for something to try to dig out something and all that stuff like that is not the best thing for that either, okay? And then to get to the other one, yo, with this whole stuff with the trade deadline, I'm going to give it to Cashman because I know something's going to happen. But it's going to require some serious creativity from him to get things done, because he's not going to want to, like, there's a certain kind of player in any point that you add as far as a position player where you're looking at somebody that's not, if you get somebody who has money beyond this year, it has to be money that's like team control, a young kid where the money is nice and things like of that nature. Or it's somebody who's like, you know, just a 2 month rental or something like that. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to find a way to keep it so that, because the prospects that we have that are the untouchables play into the future, and that's why they're untouchable. So it has to be that he either has a whole bunch of other guys down in the minors, which he probably does, and that would be kudos to him. That would be pieces that he could move, or he's going to have to get really, really crafty in as far as how he moves other things around to get that guy. So if he does manage to do something with that deadline, I'm going to give him all the props in the world, even more than I've given him already.
Well, let's break it down for a second. You're talking about upgrading at first base, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I don't, I think you're looking at it all wrong. I think you're looking at it, and I shouldn't say that, not all wrong. I think you're looking at it on how, you know, I they're not going to get, like, they're not trading for an all-world MVP, all-star caliber first baseman. Like, they're just not going to. So, I mean, that's just, it's not, I don't know who's even out there right now. We'd have to look and see. So, I mean, you're talking about the secondary pieces who aren't going to get a lot. I don't think the prospects for the kind of first baseman you're talking about is something that this organization doesn't have, or really any organization doesn't have. Anybody could pull off the kind of trade where they're going to get the best player I think they could get is probably like a Josh Bell from Miami. Like, that's it. They're not going to get, like, they're not getting Goldschmidt. They're not getting, like, you know, they're going to get a fairly good player who's just maybe a little bit better, a little bit younger than Rizzo. They're not going to get another all-star at the deadline for first or third base. I just don't see it.
But then if that's the case, then what's the point in doing it? I mean, like, you might
to
as well
upgrade.
Just try to solve the problem in-house. We have, like, even I've heard Ben Rice. There's a few kids other than
that. Yeah, but you can't trust. What if Ben Rice comes up and fails? He's a minor leaguer. He just moved to AAA. You can upgrade at first base over Rizzo right now and get somebody who has a 720 OPS. Like, that's a major upgrade over, and that's an average baseball player.
I am worried about it. I am worried about that. You know what scares me about that, too, is over the last few times I've been watching now, and today he has some kind of, like, unlucky at-bats and things. He put some balls in play, but he got, you know.
I'm worried about.
But the thing that scares me is he used to have a better two-strike approach. That choke-up thing, it's even like there's something going on in his head now where he doesn't even know himself at the moment.
He used to have
a better two-strike approach. Like, you would see him choke up, and now, like, he makes an adjustment. Like, you don't even see that.
No, and against tough lefties, you see him now, he crowds the plate hoping to get hit. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I agree with everything you said, Val, other than, like, I don't see going out and getting some major trade for first base. You can still upgrade over Rizzo because, like you just said, he's awful. This isn't just like, hey, this is the year we have to win the World Series. This great first baseman's going to be available. And while, you know, Rizzo's been okay, he's not been himself and we can do better. And we can go out and get another all-star to bolster the middle of that lineup. That's not what this is. This is Rizzo's awful. Rizzo's falling off a cliff. Rizzo can't hit. Rizzo, besides yesterday, can't field. Rizzo's killing us at first base. We need somebody better. That's what it is. Or, hey, we'll play LeMahieu if he comes around at first base. And then I don't know if I trust Cabrera. He's been nice, but we can get somebody who's a more proven major league third baseman than Oswaldo Cabrera. That's what we're talking about. You can upgrade. Like you said, what's the point? I like Ben Rice, right? I've seen him a little bit. I could look at his numbers. I feel like he could have been a AAA earlier in the season than he just got called up. He's been that good, and I'm willing to trust him on some level where I bring in a veteran, you know, kind of a veteran average to below average player into spring training next year and let them compete for first base because I got to sign Rizzo. But right now, trying to build this team, trying to win a World Series, there's a lot of gray, man. It is not just, oh, get an all-star or what's the point, play a minor leaguer who never made a start in Major League Baseball. I can't trust that he's going to come up and play well. Where if I get an average Major League Baseball player who has a Major League track record, who I know is probably an upgrade on Rizzo, I'll take a slight upgrade. I'll take someone who actually gives you major league at-bats. I'm not looking for another all-star. I don't think they're going to get another all-star because you're right. They're going to. It's. I'm not trading. You know, Paul Goldschmidt has been really bad this year. Would a change in scenery and being thrusted into a pennant race and the pinstripes help him? Sure, maybe. But I got to give up Spencer Jones to do that, possibly. I'm not doing that. You're right. There are untouchables in this organization. That's why I don't think they're getting that. That's why I doubt they're going to get Miller, the reliever from Oakland, who's like under control, throwing 103 miles an hour. Do you know what you have to give up for that? They're going to get another serviceable arm and hope Matt Blake runs his magic. That's it. And they might get an upgraded first base, but they're not going pie in the sky, get the greatest first baseman in the league. They're not going to, Matt Olson isn't coming here. They're going to get an average first baseman who's just having a better year than the terrible Rizzo. So when you say, why even do it? Because I want an upgrade. Why do it? Because I want a better player. It doesn't have to be the best player. It doesn't have to be another all-star. They can get a first baseman to come in here who plays a solid first base, who puts up a 700 OPS, who's hitting 270, 260, and I could hit him eighth in the lineup, and I'd be fine with that upgrade over what Rizzo has been. You can go get obviously McMahon's a big name out of Colorado, or I've been seeing a couple people mention Rengifo on the Angels, who's having a nice year, hitting above 300, playing third base. Like, that's the kind of, maybe Rengifo's, or Rengifo, whatever I pronounce his name. I think it's Rengifo. But you bring over a nice guy who's a light hitter for his career, who's having a nice year, who can play third base. You bring him over here and you play LeMahieu at first. That's an upgrade. He's not going to knock your socks off. He's not going to, but he's better. I don't think they're making some sort of great trade for a great player. I don't. I think they have all the great players they need. They just need to upgrade a couple of places that have become wastelands. And right now, first base is a wasteland. And I don't know if I can just trust like a Ben Rice or somebody like that from the minor leagues and bring him up and give him a try. I heard a caller early on with Keith talking about Durbin, who's a prospect at second base, who's having a nice year. In the minor leagues, I can't trust that he's going to come up and be better than Gleyber Torres. And I'm not putting Gleyber on the bench half the time to get a look at this kid and ruin any chance of Gleyber turning it around or getting hot. Like, there are times to go to the minor leagues, and it's at the start of next year. It's not now in the playoff push. When you've already determined your team, if you're in a tight spot after the deadline or nothing comes up, if they get through the deadline and there was no better option at first base or third base and came up empty and couldn't get anything, then do you want to try Ben Rice? Okay, I suppose, but I wouldn't have any confidence in it. And at the deadline, I'm looking to improve the team. There are levels of improvement, and I'll take any level. We can set our sights on the ultimate upgrade. I just don't see it. Because you're right. Like, I don't want to trade. I don't want to trade their best prospects for it. Because we're going to need them to fill the roster out when they have to pay Juan Soto $500 million, $600 million, and the owner doesn't want a $400 million payroll. And I do agree with the first thing you said. I am not putting a first baseman's glove on Judge or Stanton. I mean, Stanton, you're going to put a first baseman's glove on Giancarlo Stanton? Like, seriously, I know he's an athlete on some level, and I know he's built like a god, and you would think, hey, you've been a baseball player, go play first base. I'm not putting him out there. You kidding me? Trying to work on footwork with Giancarlo Stanton? I might as well keep Rizzo. I'm killing the first base defensively, and then I'm hurting my outfield. I mean, the only positive about Judge at first base is it opens up a spot for Dominguez. And he's been killing it in his rehab assignment, and everybody wants him on the team. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how you justify calling him up and sitting Rizzo. Rizzo. I got Rizzo on the brain. Sitting Verdugo. You can't sit Verdugo right now. You can't bring him up and not play Verdugo. I mean, even Stanton, he just hit another home run. Like, and you're going to DH the kid? Or are you going to play him every other day? You're going to play him every twice a week? Look at how the bench players on this team play. They never play. The only way Dominguez is on the New York Yankees is if there is a clear-cut starting outfield position for him. And if that happens, like, hey, what are you going to do with Cole when he gets back? Well, that answered itself. Those things sometimes take care of themselves. If something happens, then play him. But I can't, you know, play him every. I can't bench play a young kid like this. Why would I do that to him? One, I don't think he'll be very effective. He hasn't done it in his whole career.